Father, we praise you that you reveal your great plans and purposes to us, Lord. We thank you particularly for this revelation of the spiritual realities. And pray, Lord, that you would speak to us by your Spirit now, encourage us, embolden us to be those who live lives wholeheartedly for you, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so we come to the third and final installment of this little Advent series in this alternative nativity account. And we've seen that this vision that God gave to John takes us behind the scenes on a tour of that historical account of Jesus' birth. And it gives us a revelation, a picture of the magnitude of the spiritual realities that are going on in the heavenly realms. And in this particular part of the vision in chapter 12 here, God reveals the reality that there is a huge battle going on, a battle between good and evil. And the devil and all evil forces are represented in this vision by a huge seven-headed red dragon. It's a pretty scary image. But if you think it's been scary so far, it's about to get a lot scarier. You see, what we're going to see today is that the devil is angry. He's desperate to destroy God's plans and purposes and to take power for himself. But he's been thwarted in his first attempt. Last week, as we looked at verses 7 to 12, we saw that he lost the first battle in heaven with God's angels, led by Michael, as they stepped in to stop his rebellion. And he's now been cast out of heaven, down to earth, and he's angrier than ever. Verse 12, the devil has come down to you in great wrath. He's like a naughty child who hasn't got his way upstairs, and so he's gone downstairs and he's trying to smash everything up. Why? Because he knows that his time is short. You see, ultimately, he knows he's going to be thrown out of the house altogether. He's only got a little while. But he's going to use it to inflict as much damage as he can. So now he's going after the woman, God's people. Today's passage begins. And when the dragon saw that he had been thrown down to the earth, he pursued the woman who had given birth to the male child. Do you remember? The woman is representative of God's people, Israel, and now the church. And God is giving us this revelation that we might know the spiritual reality. That while we can't see it with our eyes, we would know it to be as true as all the physical realities that we see every day. The devil is now here on earth, prowling among us, desperately seeking to destroy us. If you belong to Jesus, you need to know the dragon wants to destroy you. As we said right at the beginning of studying this section of Revelation, we're often scared of this sort of biblical literature because we struggle to understand its descriptions of the spiritual realms. But I think our greater challenge is to acknowledge the reality of these spiritual realms. We don't talk much about the devil. In fact, we don't talk much about spiritual matters at all, do we? In our culture, at least. And see, that's the problem. The devil is very, very clever. He's got many ways to deceive and destroy, and he has found a particularly successful way in the West. By putting us to sleep. As I heard someone once say, it's like the Christians in the West have fallen under the spell of Satan's lullaby. He whispers in our ear from the moment we wake up in the morning to the moment we go to bed. Shh. Don't waste your time on spiritual things. Shh. There, there. Go to sleep. Shh. Shh. you don't need to be reading that Bible. You know, just go on Instagram. Have a look at the news headlines. Shh, there. Don't let these spiritual things bother you. You've got far too much to be getting on with. That long to-do list, go and get on with that. Shh. Haven't got time to pray. And you better reply to those WhatsApp messages. Yeah, go on, get on with that. Shh. Don't turn the TV on and turn the TV off and spend time with God. It's been such a long day. You deserve a rest. Shh. Stop thinking about those spiritual things. How about thinking about that cruise you've got booked? Shh, there. Off to sleep. But this passage is here to say, wake up. It's a wake-up alarm. It's supposed to jolt us out of our slumbers. Because God knows how easily we fall asleep. And you could say that for the last 50 years now, the church in the West has been in a state of slumber. We found a nice little Christian corner and took a nap as the lullaby took effect. And the fact is, we need to wake up to the spiritual battlefield that we are in, that's going on all around us, whether we are aware of it or not. A few years ago, my dad was invited to a stag do where the activity was paintballing. Now, he'd never been paintballing before. He didn't know quite what to expect, but he had been told that the bullets hurt. And what you need to know about my dad, and he will admit this himself, is he's a wimp. So he's getting all dressed up. He's putting the camo on. He's putting his mask on with his mates. And they're sent out into this big woods. And he's petrified. He's walking around with bullets flying everywhere, and he's been told how much they hurt, and his mask is starting to steam up as he gets more and more hot under the collar. And all his friends are getting shot at every minute. And so what he does is he hides behind his friends, and he sneaks off into a quiet corner, and he hides in a bush and covers himself with leaves as the battle goes on around him without him. But when he finished that battle, he heard the terrifying news that there's a second round. Well, as they prepared for the second round, his team came up with a plan that they decided they were going to take up sniper positions. And I asked him this week, remembering this story, he recounted to me, this is what he said. All I could hear were the screams of my friends being shot. I was terrified. I was waiting to be picked off. So I shot myself in the foot before I had to face the inevitable execution. Game over. But it never felt like a game. Well, I think this is a picture of the church in the West over the last 50 years. The devil has told us how much the bullets will hurt if we get involved in the battle. And we've seen and we've heard of the suffering of those who have lived out their faith in hostile environments. And we've thought, that looks really scary. So we've hidden away. We played dead. Hoped we wouldn't be seen. Some have even shot themselves in the foot to get out of the game completely. And the devil loves that he has deceived us into believing that this is the best way to survive the battle. It's an excellent tactic to pacify the enemy. Shh. It's okay. It's okay you don't want to put your head above the parapet. You're right. It's far too dangerous. You might lose your job, your friends. What use would you be to God then anyway? Shh. There. Revelation is here to counter the devil's lies. To wake us up, to recognize the spiritual battle that is raging around us. And that when we bury our head in the sand and pretend like it's simply not happening, we're actually capitulating to Satan. We're giving him ground, giving him a victory. Because we have an enemy who is alive and real, and he doesn't stop fighting just because you do. But if he can get you to forget about the spiritual battle and distract you with the things of this world, to make you nice and comfy in this world, then he's achieved a victory. He's basically tranquilized his enemy. Because if he can get you weak, distracted, half asleep, he can wreak havoc without you even noticing. And who knows, maybe in time he'll get you out of the fight altogether. Because that's his top goal. The dragon wants to destroy you by getting you to defect. To get you to look at the battle and to think, I'm not up for that. And so to shoot yourself in the foot, to say, I'm out. Which is to effectively break ranks and defect to the other side. I mean, after all, they look far better off. All those people who aren't living for God. They just get on with it and they do what they like. They look like they're having a much better time of it. It'd be much easier over there. And sadly, this is the fate of far too many. Just the other night, I had a friend staying with us, and she was telling us about some friends who had emigrated to Canada, seemingly strong Christians. But she went to visit them, and sadly, she's not sure they even believe in God anymore. They've been distracted by the comforts and rhetoric of the world. And I can think of many friends that we were at uni with who called themselves Christians, who were involved in the CU, who are no longer Christians today. Some of them, it was dramatic reasons. For others, it was just a slow drift. But nearly always, it's driven by a desire to get out of the fight, to nestle up to culture and settle down in comfort and security. But little do they know, they're nestling up to a dragon. Look down with me at verse 17. Then the dragon became furious with the woman and went off to make war on the rest of her offspring, on those who keep the commandments of God and hold to the testimony of Jesus. And he stood on the sand of the sea. This is the spiritual reality that we need to understand. It tells us why it feels so hard to engage in the fight, because we have an enemy. And so God wants you to wake up, see the dragon, and fight. You see, we need to be on the front foot. The first thing you learn in boxing, not that I've done any boxing, but I understand the worst thing you can do in boxing is to be on the back foot. That's when you get KO'd. Instead, you have to be on the front foot, ducking and diving, always moving forward, looking for the chance to punch hard and score a blow. Well, similarly, we need to make sure we are not outweaved, outpunched, outwitted by the devil, which means understanding his tactics. Again, in all sports, but particularly in boxing, if you know your opponent's tactics and strengths, you can be prepared and be ready to evade and counter. The Apostle Paul, in his second letter to Corinthians, wrote that we have God's word so that we would not be outwitted by Satan, for we are not ignorant of his designs or his schemes. We aren't to be outwitted by Satan, but we are to understand that he is scheming. And as we've said, a really great scheme is to keep us asleep, numb, sedated. Numb to the spiritual reality of your desperate need of Jesus every day. And numb to the power of his blood to meet that need. In verse 11 of our passage we looked at last week, we're told they have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. The victory doesn't come from us. It comes from Jesus and his blood shed for us. But what does it mean, rather, to take hold of his blood? What does it mean to shelter safe beneath its protection? Well, it means more than simply nodding along. Because the stark reality Revelation is hitting us with is that whilst we live on the earth where Satan temporarily rules, it involves a fight. Identifying with the Lamb, who is Christ, and testifying to the power of his saving blood will mean fighting the dragon, who is doing everything in his power to draw you away from Jesus and to keep you from mentioning his name ever. So what are the sleeping pills that he uses on us? I mean, our phones have got to be one of those most powerful tools he uses, right? Especially if you use your phone for reading the Bible. Excellent. It just takes a little WhatsApp message to pop up and off you go. You get absorbed in the news. Shh. There. Keep scrolling. Maybe he uses something else. Shopping or working out or watching TV or being absorbed in a good book. That stuff isn't bad, is it? But does it feel more real to you than the truth that there's a dragon prowling? Are you more engaged with that latest Netflix series or your next house move or your work or your academic studies than the spiritual battle raging around you? Is there something in your life that feels more urgent than the call to Christ the King, the call of Christ the King to fight? John has written this as an alarm bell so that we would wake up and see the dragon. Not in order that we would tremble at the sight of him, but so that we would fight. Because we have all we need, everything we need to take him down. As we saw last week, we've actually got the ultimate victory already. The blood of the Lamb, Jesus, is powerful enough to keep you safe no matter what the dragon throws at you. And it has the power to bring hope and salvation and life to a dark world living in the shadow of his tyranny. But we need to walk in that victory every moment of every day. To start throwing a few sucker punches back at the devil. A few knockout blows. Maybe you've not heard this sort of language in a sermon before, but I think this is the attitude we need to have. We need to get on the front foot, strike back with all the power that we have in Christ. So are you up for the fight? Nominal faith won't be enough for the fight that we're in. Sunday morning faith alone won't prepare us for the fight. We need to have a deep discipleship, a wholehearted relationship with God. That means that we have our eyes fixed on him and are following him in every area of our lives. On mission, in every moment. To live a life fully surrendered to him, fully alive in him. Speaking so boldly and so often about him, we begin to cause trouble for the devil. Time to make war against the one who makes war against us. But as you do, you need to be aware the moment you wake up and start fighting, he'll start coming at you from all sorts of different angles. He has plenty of other tactics in store in his repertoire. Last time we saw that one of his favourite accusations that he loves to use is to accuse us. Oh, you did it again. You lied. You call yourself a Christian. You're such a hypocrite. You might as well just stop bothering. God's had enough of you. I look at you, giving in to those lustful thoughts again. They're disgusting. You're disgusting. You're such a loser. God must be embarrassed of you. Oh, dear. You lost it again. You've got absolutely no self-control. It was only yesterday you were asking for forgiveness for exactly this. God's going to be so angry with you now. Do you have any of those similar thoughts? Maybe you even feel like they're from God. Maybe you get thoughts like this confused with the genuine conviction of the Holy Spirit. Well, here's the difference. The devil's tactic is to get you moving away from Jesus, hiding, afraid. The Holy Spirit ministers to your heart in such a way to draw you back to Christ. In repentance, trusting in the forgiveness and power of his blood. That you no longer stand condemned. This is where we hit back with the word of his testimony. And we say to Satan, no, you've lost. Because I am washed by the blood of Jesus. I am safe in Jesus' hands. I stand in the forgiveness that he gives, and nothing you can say will change that. And I will continue to serve him, sharing the message of hope and grace that he has given me. This is a punch in the face of the devil. The big hit that casts him down once again, knocks him out to the canvas floor. That's where victory lies. Because ultimately, God wants you to wake up and see Christ and trust him for the victory. Behind the dragon is the Lamb, who stands before the throne in glory. Scarred with the wounds that ransomed you and delivered you from death to life. Listen to these words from earlier in the book of Revelation, chapter 5. And between the throne and the four living creatures, and among the elders, I saw a lamb standing as though it had been slain, with seven horns. And the horns are the power, the strength. Seven is the ultimate completeness. And with seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. And he went and took the scroll from the right hand of him who was seated on the throne. And when he had taken the throne, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. Take a glance at the dragon, yes. But then cast your eyes beyond him. To Christ, who dwarfs the dragon in his power, makes him look pathetic. He is the one who has total power and is totally victorious. Look at the scars that spell freedom. He and he alone is the reason why we would engage in the fight, even knowing that it won't be easy. Because when Jesus called for disciples, he refused to hide the hardships in the small print. He was very clear that those who come after him must take up their cross and follow him. Prepared to face the hatred of the world and to fight with the dragon. The historic and worldwide church shows us what this looks like. They have been fighting the spiritual battle for centuries. One of the most striking examples of this is a man called Polycarp, who was killed for his faith in the middle of the second century. After threats that he would be thrown to the lions didn't make him flinch, his Roman interrogator said, "I will have you consumed by fire, since you despise the wild beasts, unless you change your mind." But listen to what Polycarp said. "You threaten with a fire that burns only briefly, and after just a little while is extinguished, for you are ignorant of the fire of the coming judgment and eternal punishment, which is reserved for the ungodly. But why do you delay? Come, do what you wish." What a response. Polycarp knew that while he faced the dragon's fire on earth, he would be spared from the fire of God's judgment on the final day. Satan may prevail against him in the Roman court, But the higher court of in the higher court of heaven, he knew his accuser had been cast out. His conscience was now washed clean by the blood of the Lamb through Jesus who died for him. And he knew that that same Jesus was now raised from the dead, seated at the right hand of God in heaven, victorious. And he knew that that same Jesus was armed with an iron rod, ready to defeat all of his enemies. The choice between betraying Christ and being killed was a no-brainer. And so Polycarp concluded, for 86 years I have been his servant, and he has done me no wrong. How can I blaspheme my king who saved me? Our brothers and sisters around the world right now, in countries like Nigeria and Iran and North Korea, are making similar choices. I was at the FIC Leaders Conference just a few weeks ago, and we had one evening that was being led by Open Doors. If you don't know about Open Doors, please go and look them up, follow their updates so you can pray for them, and then empty your savings account and give it to them. But anyway, on this evening, they had a Nigerian pastor there who was sharing lots of different stories about what they were facing in that country. And they lived in constant threat of Islamic militants storming into their homes and attacking them. He told us story after story. But I'm going to give you the sanitized version because I know that some of us are sensitive, but it was brutal listening. He told one story of a young couple who, on their wedding day, as they were driving off in their car, they were attacked by Islamic militants. The wife was kidnapped. For 2 years, the husband was mourning the loss of his wife, and one day she returned with a child. This pastor was having to pastor her and him to forgive in the midst of that. And with every story, he explained how every battle they faced, they were thrown more and more fully into the arms of Jesus. Because the dragon may intimidate with death. He may even be able to bring physical death to the followers of Christ. But Jesus has disarmed him by making death gain. As the Apostle Paul said, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Being on the other side of the victorious Lamb is well worth the battle. Eternal security is worth temporary hardship, because that's what it is, temporary. God is fully able to keep his people, to provide for them and to protect them until the day when he returns. Look at verse 14. But the woman was given the two wings of the great eagle so that she might fly from the serpent into the wilderness to the place where she is to be nourished for a time and times and half a time. The serpent poured water like a river out of his mouth after the woman to sweep her away with a flood. But the earth came to the help of the woman, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed the river that the dragon had poured from his mouth. The woman, who remember symbolizes God's people in this picture, is supernaturally enabled. She's given wings to fly, which is to say that God's people have all the power of the risen Christ at their disposal. They are regularly provided for and protected through means in ways that the world will not be able to explain. And you know that that's even more amazing than we can possibly imagine. God can even use the earth to the aid of the child, verse 16. Think of regimes that the Lord has risen up to protect and provide safety for Christians. Think of the way he has worked through the kings and politicians in this country who have come to the aid of the church unwittingly as God has bent their purposes to his will. And the ultimate comfort is the fact that the devil's attacks are limited by a divine timetable. They may be gruesome, but they won't be forever. One day, Christ's everlasting kingdom will come. And in the meantime, though God's people are pursued and persecuted, they're protected for a time, at times, and half a time. Now, this is one of those phrases that sounds a bit cryptic, but its meaning is actually deep comfort. It comes from the book of Daniel, where it's used to describe a season where God's people are oppressed, but never abandoned. In Daniel's symbolism, a time represents a year, a times 2 years, and half a time, half a year. So 3 years. Sorry, 3.5 years. Which is the same period as we saw in verse 6, which we refer to as 1,260 days. 3.5 is a striking number. Because it's half of seven. Seven, the number for completeness and fullness in the Bible. So by saying this period lasts for 3.5 years, John is revealing something really important. The suffering is real. But by saying it is just 3.5, he's saying this time is going to be cut short. It's measured and bound by God himself. The dragon rages, but he cannot win. Because just at the right time, at exactly the right moment, not a second too late, the dragon will be fully and finally taken out. The devil will be destroyed. The world will be made new. Tears will be gone. And we will live with the Lamb forever. The dragon wants to lull us to sleep with his lullaby of lies. But through the book of Revelation, God has a very different song that he whispers to our ears. Hold on. Endure. Stay awake. And fight back. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we praise you for your revelation. We thank you for this wake-up call. Lord, would you draw us out of our slumber? Would you reveal once again the great victory of Jesus Christ, his blood shed for us? And Lord, would you embolden us to go out, to proclaim your name, to keep fighting, Lord, to live wholeheartedly in every area of our lives for you, because we are so aware of the danger that surrounds us. But Lord, we thank you that you have ultimate victory, that we can stand firm and confident in your victory. And so embolden us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing a couple of songs now to help us, embolden us as we head out this week.